Back on the podcast. Hey, what's happening? All right, so it's going to be a different type of an episode. We're going with the traditional or non-traditional at this point, two-man show. Myself, Adam, your host. Hello, Adam. Hi, Adam. And to my right is the baddest man. No, Corey's the baddest man on the planet, the bearded man on the planet.
Still have a beard.
Evan, the beard. What's happening?
Hi, I'm good.
We're gonna do a different type of episode. We're gonna do this in pieces, pounds, baby, pieces. No Corey this week because we're gonna have a special guest. I guess this will be our special Father's Day episode.
Yep.
And when you think dads, don't you just think war movies?
All dads are into war movies.
I mean,
most of them.
Yeah, it's kind of a standard. Anyways, it's a. I don't know. I guess it's a generational thing that, like, guys of our dad's generation just grew up watching a lot of weird... Not weird, but there was a lot of war movies that they used to make back in the 60s. Everything was about World War II. It was a very cinematic war.
They don't make nearly as many war movies as they do.
No, they don't. And I think during my research, I think I figured out why. I think that they've said a lot of that needed to be said. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think they've told every type of war story possible. I think that's why, quite frankly, you know, you don't see them as much. Plus, they probably, you know, it's like when we did our Western episode. It's not in vogue anymore. You know.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're gonna have a special guest to do the honorable mentions. We're gonna have our dad do some honorable mentions of his favorite war movies.
Yes.
And he doesn't know we're doing this. We're just gonna kind of ambush him with the laptop. So that'll be fun. That'll be a quick fun part of the episode. What are we drinking? It's the middle of the week. I'm sipping on water. I just got over a stomach bug. Evan's having some traditional Samuel Adams.
I have the next 3 days off, so.
Samuel Adams, Boston Lager.
It's not the lager, it's the Boston Ale.
Well, Boston Ale, excuse me, Boston Ale.
Pretty good.
So, do you want to do, you know, we're just going to play this on the fly right now. Do you want to do now playing and talk about what we watched this week, or you just want to talk some TV?
Let's just talk about TV.
Let's just talk TV for
because
right now.
Some fucking great episodes have happened. Many shows are really good right now.
Let's do our best not to spoil any shows. I think me and you are in agreement that the three best shows on TV right now, and I'm gonna say that with a little bit of caveat that these are really the only three shows I'm watching right now. But I'll say the three best shows going on right now are Game of Thrones
mm-hmm.
is having its best season yet. I firmly believe that.
Yeah.
It's having its best season so far. Louis, the Louis C.K. show on FX, Louis is hitting it out of the park every week.
Louis is amazing. It has a really great storyline going. Like, it has like a storyline.
Yes, yeah, and that's
been happening the last couple episodes.
Yeah, and that show has really caught its footing and has been amazing. And the resurgence of 24, man, I have not been let down. I think it's been really good.
Every episode of the show since it's been back has been fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
So good.
So first, quick Game of Thrones. This past episode, entitled "The Watchers on the Wall," they brought back Neil Marshall, who directed the famous episode "Blackwater" from season 2, and Neil Marshall also. Direct movies like Dog Soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
He's a British director or Scottish director? I think he's Scottish director.
He's Scottish.
Dog Soldiers, The Descent, Doomsday, all like fun.
Centurion
with Fassbender.
With a Fassbender that wasn't very famous at the time.
No, he was not. All very fun action movies. And he brings that sense, he just knows how to capture action.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing about Watchers on the Wall is that it's better than 99.9% of the last you know, however many action movies I've seen. He just has a such a good vision and such a scope for like big action set pieces. And this episode, I mean, holy hell, it was 40 minutes of just total, you know.
And the episode he directed before this was the Battle of Blackwater.
Yeah, the Battle of Blackwater, which is like the invasion on King's Landing. Yeah.
And I think he topped it.
Yeah, I like this better.
Yeah.
I'm not as enamored, excuse me, with like the Jon Snow storyline and stuff going on beyond the wall as I am the Lannisters and King's Landing. I think that's the bread and butter of Game of Thrones is those characters. But I will say that just it was like on par with like Helm's Deep. It really was.
It was.
Just so many great moments in that episode. Like I've said many times before, if you're not watching Game of Thrones, you're really missing out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's starting to become like this huge cultural phenomenon, which is very cool. I'm not going to be that guy that like gets mad that everybody likes the band that you liked, you know, because you liked it first.
Well, I'd just like to go over first that recently they broke ratings for Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And Sopranos.
Which is
making it the biggest TV, the biggest show on HBO.
Yeah. And
probably TV right now.
I would say
so. If they broke Walking Dead, then.
And the last number I heard for this past episode was $12 million cost to. Wow. So, I mean, and if you do the math, really a 10-episode season of Game of Thrones still doesn't. I mean, that's the highest. I'd say the median's probably around 6 or 8.
Yeah.
And it still doesn't equal the, you know, god-awful budget of like Amazing Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
So I really don't think it's that egregious. They're spending money to make money. I'm fine with that. So, yeah, this whole season has been phenomenal. It's been great. So
this was definitely the best episode of, it was the finale. This is like the, we always say this, the second last.
They call it the penultimate episode. The ninth episode, the second to last, is always Game of Thrones' big to-do. But they're saying that episode 10 of this season is going to have some twists and turns.
They said it's the best stuff that they've written.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting. So quickly, let's have a few words about 24, if you will.
I'm not going to spoil anything that we already saw in the next week's.
Right. Yeah, I haven't watched the preview for next week's.
Well, no, I mean like from last episode.
Oh, when we right. Showed, right.
So
oh, yeah,
I'm not
going to
spoil anything.
Yeah, good. Yeah, just give us some overall thoughts. Don't talk about in specifics then.
All right. So it was probably the most action-packed episode of the season so far.
Yeah, this last week was awesome. I think I may have mentioned before, but I like the use of the undercurrent of this season is drones, is U.S. drones.
Yeah, which is
tapping into today's today's news. Yeah, exactly. And I always thought 24 was good about staying relevant and kind of towing the line of not picking a side, but just presenting it and saying this is what's going on.
Yeah.
And I will say that the big bright spot of this season has been, you're going to help me with her name, Yvonne
Strahovski.
She's been great. She's a really fun character. I said to Evan at one point during this season that if they were to kill off the Jack Bauer character and make her the main character and continue the story, I would be A-okay with that.
It wouldn't be the same, obviously, but I'd accept it.
She's as prominently featured in this as Kiefer Sutherland has been.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're like co-starring this season.
She's been at the forefront of the storyline.
Yeah. So. And I mean, half the fun of 24 is how ridiculous it gets, and it really hasn't been super ridiculous this season.
We were presented with a fucking awesome chase scene in this
episode. Really cool chase scene in this past episode.
And now, one of the things I love about 24 is you only get glimpses of who Jack Bauer really is at his core.
Right.
There's a
couple subtleties in this past episode.
There's very few episodes on the overall show where they delve into what kind of person he is.
Yeah.
But this episode was had a point where they kind of get into what kind of person he is.
Yeah, and I think the reason that they kind of abandoned that in the later seasons is because he was just such a broken man at certain points that it was like, well, it's better to not really peel this onion too much.
It's almost the point of the character is the things that he goes through.
Yeah.
Rather than who he is, I guess.
So if you're on the fence for... I mean, it's getting lukewarm reviews on the web, but I mean, yeah, us on this show are big fans.
People
are mixed. I haven't looked at ratings, but people have been mixed. Some people really like it, some people don't. But if you're on the fence, if you want our opinion, I'd say go for it. It's definitely worth it.
I think those people aren't 24 fans.
Probably not.
They're just
That's the thing, yeah. If you're a legit fan of the show, then none of this should be disappointing to you.
Yeah, if you're a fan of 24, then you should be very happy.
And
if you're not, then don't watch it.
Yeah, that's fine. So, and Louis, this show is, I can't really, like, it's hard to recommend Louis for people because people walk into it thinking, oh, it's going to be a comedy, he's a stand-up comic. It's not always funny. But it's always, like, profound. It's borderline brilliant at certain times. He comes at a lot of different subjects from a lot of new angles.
Like, it's not a sitcom. It's not Seinfeld.
No, and things happen that, like, are sometimes hard to explain.
Yeah.
You know? And then, like, things happen, like, outside of the box. Like, we were joking about there's that scene when the garbage men are emptying all the garbage outside of his house and he's trying to sleep. And then the garbage men are then inside of his house making a shitload of noise. And it is funny, but, like, I don't know, I feel like people will take that, like, literal, and it's not. It's just
these are just things from his brain.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, you have to take certain things with a grain of salt. And,
like, everything, all the weird things that happen are just things that it's just straight from his mind. Like,
exactly.
Like, like the news coverage.
Yeah.
How it's really weird.
It's very strange.
That's just probably how he thinks of...
Yeah, exactly.
What he thinks of news coverage.
There's a lot of satire involved, and I think it's brilliant. I think it's one of the best shows on TV right now. I'm halfway through the final... I think this is the final episode, because it's 90 minutes. So...
Yeah, it must be.
And
either that, or it's like a mid-season...
Yeah, maybe. Finale. Yeah, because there's usually a lot of episodes in a season of Louis, but they were doubling up, so... I don't know. So that's some TV for you.
Plus,
so
it's only a half hour long show.
It's an easy watch.
So
it's a very easy watch.
Just watch it.
That's basically it. We don't have to do movie news. Nothing really broke this week.
Kingpin.
Yeah, if you're following any of the Marvel stuff, Daredevil's coming to the small screen on Netflix. They cast Daredevil, but he's the guy that didn't really fall on my radar. So I'll have to get back to you on that one. But the one I was excited about is they cast the Kingpin, and he's going to be played by Vincent D'Onofrio, who is a hugely underrated actor.
I agree.
He is it's borderline amazing in certain roles.
I think he's going to be great.
He's going to be great. I agree.
He's going to be a great villain.
I'm
glad that they're
I'm glad they're going with Kingpin.
Kingpin.
Let's go to war.
Let's do war.
All right, let's do war. So we're going to do our top five war movies. Now, while researching this topic, I came to a realization.
I came to the same one.
I have not seen a lot of war movies.
Neither. I haven't seen a lot of old war movies. I've seen some. I
have not seen a lot of old war movies.
I've heard of a lot.
I've heard of a ton. But I have
never
not
seen Das Boot.
No. Wolfgang Petersen. I should see it. But do you want to go first?
Sure. Let's look at the old list.
All right, let's break it out.
All right. I'm going to go with a classic. A classic. Right. I don't know who directed it.
All right. Maybe
but,
I can tell you.
It's an old movie. Older, I should say. It stars Clint Eastwood.
Oh, he's a good actor.
It has Donald Sutherland in it.
Oh, I know where you're going with this one, my friend.
I'm talking about Kelly's Heroes.
Kelly's Heroes. This is a... This is all segueing nicely with, having Dad talk about some movies with us, because this was a movie that we owned on VHS as a young family.
Now, before Inglourious Basterds, there was Kelly's Heroes.
Yes.
Which is a movie that, it's a heist movie with the backdrop of World War II.
Yes.
And killing Nazis.
Killing Nazis.
And they do indeed kill Nazis.
Oh, of course they do.
There's a great scene at the end with, there's like I'm trying to put the words together. It's like a showdown sort of a la, I want to say, like Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
Yeah.
Where they actually play the music from the Good, Bad, and the Ugly, I think. I think if I remember correctly,
this is 1970. This yes. movie. Oh, and don't forget Telly Savalas.
Telly
big
Savalas. Telly Savalas.
I'll even go down this. This movie is a really good cast. I had to look this up real quick. Carol O'Connor, who from whatchamacallit, Archie Bunker.
Yep.
Don Rickles. Everyone loves Don Rickles, and a bunch of other people that Harry Dean Stanton. Holy crap!
What, really? He's in this?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's a good cast.
I haven't seen it in a while, but...
No, but it's a good movie. I remember seeing it.
Yeah, they're trying to steal gold from the Nazis. I think it's gold. It's money. I think they're trying to steal money out of a bank
right.
that's being held by Nazis, and they're going in to steal it.
Cool. All right, good great pick. Movie. Good number five.
Love the Donald Sutherland's performance. He's like a hippie who drives a tank.
Yes, he's probably my favorite part of that movie.
Yeah, he's the best part.
All right, cool. So I'm going to hit you on my number five. This is a movie that... I saw independently when it first came out, and then I saw it again in school. So this is a schooling movie. Mm. This came out in if you're learning the Civil War, this is a good school movie.
Oh, I know what movie you're talking about.
1989, Edward Zwick, who you may remember from directing The Last Samurai.
Yes.
This is a movie called Glory.
Glory is awesome.
I love Glory. This is a movie about the Civil War, and it's about the first battalion of African American soldiers.
I didn't pick it because I knew you would pick it.
I love Glory.
It's still a great movie.
I'm not a huge Matthew Broderick fan, but he is great in this movie.
Pretty awesome. Probably one of his best. Probably his best movie.
Possibly highest, off the top of my head.
Highest rated, maybe.
But yeah, and the two amazing performances by both Denzel Washington, who walked away with an Academy Award,
nice,
and Morgan Freeman is also really good in this. I mean, just amazing cinematography, very powerful storytelling. As far as I know, it's one of the greatest Civil War movies that I can remember of the last 20
years.
There's
not a lot of Civil War
movies. No, I mean, it's, you know, you're picking from a small group of movies, yeah, for sure. But, yeah, if you've never seen Glory, that's probably a must-see movie. That's a great war movie. Yeah. It's a great, great fucking
it's
war
good
movie.
It's a good theme.
Yeah.
The theme from Glory is good.
Yeah, James Horner.
Yes.
James Horner.
Yes.
Very, if you get a lot of those big epic 80s and 90s movies, he's usually attached to it.
Now, this is, I would say, I haven't seen Glory in a while, but the one time I did see it, I did cry.
It has a very powerful ending.
Sad. Very
yes,
sad.
Very sad.
You cry man tears.
Did not cry during the sequel, Glory Hole.
Oh, no. No.
That may or may not have been a Civil War movie. But no, we're talking war movies, so
yeah,
Glory. That's my number five.
Great number five.
All right.
My number four is I can't remember who directed it, but it has a shitload of people in it. The Thin Red Line.
That is Terrence Malick.
Terrence Malick.
That was his big return to cinema.
Okay, Nick Nolte.
Yeah.
Jim
Caviezel.
Jim Caviezel.
Sean Penn.
Woody Harrelson.
George Clooney.
George Clooney is in it.
Woody Harrelson, yeah, you said him. I mean, the cast in this movie
there's
is...
a ton of people.
It's ungodly.
Yeah. There's a ton of fucking actors. Most of them have small parts.
John Cusack, Adrian Brody, John C. Reilly, Jared Leto, John Travolta... Nick Stahl, Thomas Jane, let me see, anybody else worth mentioning?
The guy who played, the guy, he's in Ninja Turtles.
Oh, yeah, Elias Koteas, he's like a, isn't he like a CSI, like, not CSI, he shows up in a bunch of, he's
like,
Casey Jones in the first Ninja
Turtles. Yeah, he's
Casey
Jones, and he's Azazel in, Oh, he's like the first.
And I think he was in Oz.
Yes.
Yeah, he was in Oz. All right, that's what I was remembering. If I'm not fucking, but yeah, this movie.
And he's a Look Who's Talking, I think.
Wasn't everybody?
Look Who's Talking too, maybe.
Look Who's Talking Now.
Yeah, I don't know. He's one of those actors.
I'll tell you what I remember from Thin Red Line. Long.
It's really long.
It's close. It's got to be flirting with 3 hours. It's got to be playing close to 3 hours.
Super depressing. The reason why I like it is because they show. Like the really depressing points of war.
It's not, they don't really, doesn't make it look like a good time.
Like, there's a lot of bad things that happen.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's really what happens.
It
deals with the war in the Pacific.
Yeah,
against the the Japanese.
Yeah, during the Second World War. It's a good World War II movie, but it's beautifully shot. It's Malick. Yeah. If you're familiar with Terrence Malick movies, I mean, they're really cool. They're very cinematic. They're very, like, plays with, like, a lot of really cool camera shots, but it'll also, you know, film a leaf for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Make you feel things.
Yeah, it's one of those.
But, yeah, Thin Red Line is a movie I own. I bought it just because I was like, wow, there's a lot of really good actors in this movie. And yeah. I watched it, and I was like, wow, that was really good. I don't know if I'd want to watch it again.
It's really depressing.
Yeah, super depressing.
But I think that's what it's meant to be. It should be. It's a war movie.
Exactly.
War is depressing.
Yeah, war is hell. So, my number four.
Yeah. Work is hard.
Work is hard. My number four is a movie that came out in 2013. It was a movie that I believe should have been Best Picture over Argo Fuck Yourself, which was a very mediocre movie. It's a movie called Zero Dark Thirty.
Now, is this a war movie?
Yeah.
The War on Terror?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, now, do you agree with my pick? Because I picked this over her other war movie that I really like that I completely just blanked on the name. Hurt Locker was a great movie. But I think Zero Dark Thirty is better. It's much more riveting to me.
Yeah.
The movie is like gripping. It's just like it gets you. Like after like the first 20 minutes you're like, holy shit, I'm in. And like I think the thing I really like about it is that it really dramatizes like it really shows you that the whole like hunt for like Bin Laden when everyone's like, yeah, we got him, yay, and it was like, this movie shows you like, yay, really? Was it worth it?
Yeah.
You know, and I like that, and it lets you make your own judgment on that.
There's no like victory, really. It doesn't seem like a victory.
Right. I love movies that don't like hold your hand and say like, this is how you should feel. They kind of present you the facts. This is what happened. How do you feel? You know what I mean? You know, take away what you will. And then people bitch like, oh, they didn't give Jessica Chastain's character any discernible qualities, and it's like, her quality was she's trying to find this guy. That's all her, she had no personality. Her personality was her job. I know a lot of people like that.
That's like Jack Bauer.
Exactly.
His character is his job.
Yeah, and they don't, you know, they don't shy away from showing a lot of stuff. And like, I don't know, it's kind of a grim, dark period in our history of this country.
Yeah.
That kind of, I don't think it gets passed over, but it's not as like USA, USA as you really think it should be. Or maybe the way it's perceived by some people that like I don't know, it was a really eye opening movie. I think it's a really
I think it's
how do I even almost say that it's underrated? Like it just I feel like this kind of came and went.
It should have won
Best Picture.
I don't know why it was like boohooed by a lot of people.
It didn't win Best Picture in my opinion because Argo was a safer pick and it was more of a feel good movie and she had won either Best Picture or Best Director for Hurt Locker. I think she won Best Director.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
And if you want to talk about, like what movie, you know, which one, you know, when people complain about, like, oh, it's not how it happened. I feel like Zero Dark Thirty, at least, was...
It's got to be close.
Was closer than fucking Argo.
Yeah.
There was no fucking chase on the tarmac in real life in Argo.
Oh, my God. I don't even get me started on that movie. He's not... They're having Ben Affleck play like a Latino guy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know what dude. I mean? It's like, come on.
It wasn't good. It was kind of boring.
It was...
They're, like, sitting in the house complaining about, like, well, we have to go. And he's like, no, I'm not going. That was the movie.
The thing about Argo is, I will say it's not a bad movie. It's a forgettable movie.
Yeah.
It was like, it's something you see on a plane. Oh, okay.
It's not...
It's a bus ride movie.
It's not bad, but it's not Best Picture.
No.
I agree with you. I agree that Zero Dark Thirty should have won.
All right, cool. All right, so that's my number four. What's your number three?
My number three... pulling out the guns on this one.
Uh-oh.
Number three has got to be Black Hawk Down.
That is also my number three.
Nice. Because my other two are...
Off the beaten path?
No, but
all right.
They're my top.
So let's get into Ridley Scott's 2001 Black Hawk Down.
We've talked about it before.
We have. We can make this pretty brief. Again, another huge cast. Great cast.
Fucking huge, yeah.
I will admit it's really light on character development and cultural empathy. Something that I noticed the last time I watched it. But it's a really visceral, it's like a really pulse-pounding, like really just like...
One thing about Black Hawk Down is I saw this in the theater, and when it gets going, it does not stop.
Right.
It just keeps going.
Yeah, hold on, I'm going to stop you for a second. Yeah, can you just put in your password? All right. So, back to Black Hawk Down. So, yeah, no, it doesn't stop. It's a very relentless movie.
Yeah, it's perfect word. Yeah. Perfect way to put it. It's very relentless.
Yeah, and I think
lots of great action for one.
Yeah, and I think Ridley Scott really flexes his muscles in this movie because, I mean, it's very technically sound. Like, it's a very tight movie for such a huge movie, you know what I mean?
And I think what makes a great war movie is feeling like you're there.
Yes.
And Black Hawk Down makes you feel like you're in fucking Mogadishu.
Yeah.
With the fucking shanty towns and whatever... The place, you know, I mean, if you've seen the movie, you know what the place looks like.
Yeah, exactly.
But it seemed like they were fucking shooting in the real place.
Yeah, no, totally.
And the fucking sand getting kicked up everywhere.
And like I said, it looks great. I just think the two things that you really can nitpick the movie about is it kind of treats, you know, like, it, you know, it'll celebrate, you know, what the American soldiers are doing, but it really kind of puts where they are and those people kind of in the background.
Yeah.
And it has really very little character development. And it has almost too many characters to have any character development.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we both made our list, it made both of our lists, so obviously
it's one of my favorites.
We both like it.
This is a movie I saw with Deb.
Yes, it is. Good call. One of his more recent war movies.
Yeah.
And that is streaming on Netflix. So far, I think that's the only one of these movies that we've mentioned that's streaming on Netflix. So, you're on number two.
Okay.
That was my
number. Oh, yeah. You're right. Okay. My number two.
Number two.
This movie, another one, I don't know who directed it, but it has a lot of great actors in it. It takes place during World War II, focusing on the Russians.
Okay.
Called Enemy at the Gates.
Ah, yes.
This focuses on a sniper in the Russian army fighting against Nazis.
Yes.
The beginning of the movie features the... have you ever seen it?
I have seen it a long time ago.
So have I. But I've seen it a couple times.
Okay.
But the beginning of the movie is the bloodiest battle of... one of the bloodiest battles...
Stalingrad?
The Battle of Stalingrad.
Yes.
And it's pretty intense.
Yeah.
Some of the soldiers, like, don't have weapons, and they're just following other soldiers.
Right.
They'll pick their weapons up when they die. Stuff like that. And then the rest of the movie is, like, they're almost like a Russian resistance fighters.
Okay.
And they're just, it follows Jude Law.
Mm-hmm.
He's a sniper, and he's going on, like, missions, killing Nazis.
Yep.
There's a love story.
Okay.
I believe Rachel Weisz.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
Is that her name?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're right. You're correct on that.
And the main villain, who is not Russian, is Ed Harris.
Yes.
Who's another sniper.
Yes.
But it's a great fucking movie.
Okay.
Came out, I think, around the same time as Black Hawk Down, I think.
Yeah, I think it was some kind of 2000 or 2001.
It's a really good fucking movie. Really, really good movie.
2001. I got it right here. It's just loading. This is a terrible podcast. I apologize. Yeah, Jude Law, Ed Harris. Yeah, Rachel Weisz. Good call.
Great movie.
Who directed this? Jean-Jacques Annouard. Okay, don't know him.
That's a French name.
That is a French name.
Great movie.
All right.
You should watch it again.
I will.
The finale of the movie is a sniper battle with Jude Law and Ed Harris.
Nice.
In a train yard.
All right, so my number one... No, excuse me, my number two...
Yes, your number two.
My number two is a movie that I watched yesterday, because I hadn't seen it in over 10, 15 years.
Really?
And I remember liking it, and I don't remember why, so I revisited it yesterday, and I will tell you that 1979 Francis Ford Coppola's Apocalypse Now is a fucking fantastic movie.
I was going to put it on my list.
Right. This is a movie adapted by adapted from a Joseph Conrad novel, Heart of Darkness. Depicts the war as a descent into primal madness.
Yes.
I will say that I do have a not controversial opinion, but I think this movie is bookended by two kind of shitty scenes. I think the opening scene with Martin, I almost called it Martin Lawrence. That would have been way off. with Martin Sheen, when he's all, like, he's just in his bedroom and he's all screwed up.
Yeah.
That is, they say that's, he improvised that scene.
Wow.
Great.
Yeah, like, it's awesome.
I mean, that's cool, but it's so, like, it's not even out of place. It's just, like, it's just, there's something strange about that scene.
It's weird to present your main character with a scene like that.
Yeah, when he's not really like that for the rest of the movie. You know, he's a little off, he's a little touched.
Yeah.
But he's not, like, losing his mind listening to the Doors.
They don't really say why.
No. And then I think the stuff with Colonel Kurtz, played by Marlon Brando, I think that's a little up its own ass. A little bit.
Because he wasn't, at the time, Brando was, like, he wasn't into it.
No, and then you read stuff about, he showed up, like, all fat and, like, not knowing his lines. And then, like, his lines, like, they're, it's really... I don't know. There's something about it that's like, it's just really up its own ass. Everything sandwiched in between that is amazing. The Robert Duvall character of Kilgore is the best part of that movie.
He's so good.
And it's not just like...
Charlie don't surf.
Yeah, it's not even like him, like the famous line of napalm in the morning. It's not even that. It's just the he has so much character. That character,
yeah.
So much going on. Like it reminded me of the way, Harvey Keitel approached The Wolf.
Yeah,
he just totally owned that character and gave him so much depth and personality. He just steals every, and he's really only in the movie. 10-15 minutes.
Yeah, it's just a quick
and
scene.
It's so good. And then there's that invasion scene with Flight of the Valkyrie.
Yeah,
it's so good. It still holds up.
Like iconic.
It still holds up. It's really good. Everything after that, the stuff on the boat. It's a really fantastic movie. And I like what it's trying to say about war. It's a really complex movie.
There's a lot of weird scenes. Like
there's a lot of weird.
Like the
scenes.
Part when they go and. They're hanging out with, like, those girls.
Yeah.
That's a weird part.
Yeah, it's really strange.
A very fucking young Lawrence Fishburne. I believe he's,
like
16.
He lied to producers.
Yes.
Said he was 18. I think he was, like, 16 or 15 at the time.
Yeah.
He's really good in it.
Great.
A very young Harrison Ford has a pretty pointless part.
Yeah.
He's
in it, though.
Yeah, I mean...
One thing I will say... two things I'll say about... Apocalypse Now. It's really good, but it's fucking exhausting.
It is very... It's, like, emotionally exhausting.
It's tough to get through.
Yeah. And the thing about... the thing I appreciate most about Black Hawk Down is it falls in line with Jaws and Star Wars, where it was made by these really ambitious dudes, and it really had the potential to be a giant pile of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I say... Whenever I talk about Southland Tales by Richard Kelly... That is a really ambitious pile of shit.
Yeah.
It's a hugely ambitious, wild-eyed pile of nonsense.
Yeah.
These movies weren't. These movies, they, like, went for it. You know what I mean? And they hit home runs. Yeah. They really, really did. And Coppola just made an amazing movie. Just, I mean, I don't know. If you've never seen Black Hawk Down. If you've never seen Apocalypse Now, check it out. Also,
Apocalypse Now, goes down as one of the greatest, probably one of the greatest movies of all time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's in the conversation. All right. Apocalypse Now, amazing movie. I think we both have a newfound appreciation for it.
I didn't put certain movies on my list because
And we'll get to it during honorable mentions. We'll do our honorable mentions and then we'll have, you know, the man. Take care of his.
I thought you would have at least put maybe Inglourious Basterds on.
We'll talk about that. So I'm gonna say, all right, you have your number one, and I have not my number one, but I think it's pretty obvious we have the same number one.
Yeah.
Our favorite war movie of all time. It's clearly Saving Private Ryan.
Yep.
Wow, that would have been embarrassing if yours was like something else.
No,
mine's Das Boot.
God damn it! Bridge Over the River Kwai.
Yes, another movie I've never seen. All right, so for people of our generation, I think it's easy to say that Saving Private Ryan is the best war movie, and I think when thinking about my list, the reason I had to say it was number one, it's kind of like it was kind of a drop the mic moment for Steven Spielberg. He was like, all right, I've never made a World War II movie. Bam. Saving Private Ryan, amazing.
Where do I start? One of the greatest scenes, one of the most
iconic scenes,
tough scenes it's like tough to watch.
Yeah.
Still. Yeah. It's still like, ugh. Like, it's tough to watch. The opening scene of the movie.
Yeah, the D-Day scene.
Yeah.
The storming of Normandy and the whole thing.
It's intense.
Yeah. Like, it just shows it, like... It's not like, you know, the old 60s war movies, from the ones I've seen, it's like, all right, come on, guys, we're going to go get them. Yeah, let's go. This movie is just like a dude, and he just throws up.
It's like foreboding.
Holy shit. Like,
it's foreboding. They're on the boats. They're going to the beach. Right. And, like, all you see is, like, guys, like, praying and guys are throwing up.
Yeah.
It's
because, like, what would you do if you were in that situation?
Yeah,
I'd be doing all sorts of crazy stuff.
Especially since, as soon as the fucking doors open, guys are getting cut to pieces.
Yeah, getting mowed down. I mean, that is an intense, and it's a 20-minute scene.
Yeah.
It has to be. You're introduced to no characters, really. It's just like, these are American soldiers.
You see...
storming the beach.
You see Tom Hanks. You know he's
you
the main
see
character.
Characters. You don't really get to meet anybody for the most part.
I think you see Tom Hanks and Tom Sizemore.
Yeah. And I think you slowly get introduced to other characters that show up later in the movie.
Yeah, like the medic.
Yeah. But it really is, like, in my opinion, it's the war movie to end all war movies. It's like, I mean, just ultimate combat film.
I said about Black Hawk Down that, you know, a movie that makes you feel like you're there. This movie makes you feel like you're fucking there.
Yeah.
But you don't want to be there.
No. I mean, and we've said previously on this episode about how we haven't seen a lot of the old 60s war movies. I have seen a couple, and this one, like, just took, like, it was not like what not to do, but it was just like, it took everything and just advanced it. You know what I mean? It really, like, it took all those elements and made it better.
Yeah.
And it just, like, made it, and it's, you can't, you know, obviously it's a modern World War II movie. They have a lot more things at their disposal than they do back in the 60s and the 70s making all those movies, but it's just like, it outdistanced itself from all those other movies.
Say what you will about Spielberg. Like, I have my opinions about Spielberg. I'm sure everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
But, like you said, this is just his... Like, dropped the mic.
Yeah.
Like, knocked it out of the park.
Exactly.
It's just so good. I will watch this movie if it's on.
Yeah, it is one of those movies that stops you in your tracks. Like, oh, shit, Saving Private Ryan's on. It's an hour left. All right, fuck it. I gotta watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
Great
score.
Yep, great score.
The movie looks amazing.
Yeah.
It, like the look of it. Like
It has a weird palette to
it. It has like a sheen.
Yeah, it has like it's a grayish kind of tone, like a bluish gray kind of tone. It looks amazing. I don't know if they shot on location in Europe, but I mean, if they didn't, then bravo, because it looks amazing. Yeah. And to capture, and the set design for a lot of those broken down cities was so good.
Yeah.
I think, in hindsight, if one thing Spielberg could probably go back and do, it'd be to recast the, what's his name? See, he's so forgettable, I don't remember his name. He's basically, like, the main character besides Tom Hanks. He's, Edward, Christ.
He's always carrying the giant gun, right?
Yeah. I really think that, like, I think he thought he was gonna be, like, an up-and-coming... you know, big star. I gotta look it up. Because obviously Matt Damon was a big up-and-coming star back then, and he plays Private Ryan.
Yeah.
But it was Edward Burns.
Yes.
He didn't really pan out to be as big an actor.
He was in one movie that I had seen.
I've seen him in a bunch of indies. He's a director. He directs a bunch of movies.
No.
But, I mean, I can go down the list real quick. Tom Sizemore, even though he's had kind of a fall from grace, is really good in this movie. Barry Pepper, Adam Goldberg, Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel's actually doable in this movie. He's actually like...
He has a great scene.
Yeah. Giovanni Ribisi, Jeremy Davies, Matt Damon. Ted Danson has a really cool cameo, and so does Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, yeah.
Both.
I can't forget Nathan Fillion.
Oh, yeah.
He plays...
Very young, very sad.
A false Private Ryan.
Yeah. And the late, great Dennis Farina.
Yeah.
He has a really cool cameo in this as an American. I think he's probably like a lieutenant or something.
Yeah.
One of the higher ups. But, yeah, I mean, great cast, great movie all around. I will say, some of the drama does fall a little bit short with me.
Yeah.
I don't watch, I mean, I was sent a list of like tearjerker movies or scenes in movies, and they say one of them is him at the end when he's all old and he's at the grave.
I don't think that's the saddest part.
And I don't know if it's that old guy's inability to act.
Yeah.
Or if it just didn't really resonate with me, but I didn't find that sad. What I will say is one of the most... gut-wrenching scenes that doesn't make you cry, it makes you want to look away, is when the character played by the Adam Goldberg character, he plays the Jewish American soldier.
Yeah.
When he's having the hand the fisticuffs with the German soldier, and he slowly stabs him to death. That's a hard scene to watch.
I still can't watch that. Yeah.
And he's like asking him, "No, please don't stab me." Yeah. Like, and then he shushes him. Ah, it's the worst. You don't want to get shushed before you get stabbed.
Yeah, that
sucks.
That sucks. Yeah.
You just don't like getting shushed in general.
No, nobody wants to be shushed.
No.
Another scene that's very extremely tough to watch is the part where the medic dies.
Giovanni Ribisi. Yeah, that's another really. Yeah.
He's dying, and he's like asking for his mom, like, oh man.
Yeah, it's tough.
That's not good.
It's very realistic, though.
It's good, but it's.
Yeah, it's very realistic.
Yeah.
I wasn't there, but.
Yeah.
I would imagine it's pretty realistic.
The gory scenes are extremely fucking gory.
Yeah, it's.
Realistic.
I remember the big selling point for this movie when I heard it when it came out was like people were seeing it in theaters and having like legit flashbacks.
Yeah,
that's fucked up. I mean, it's a pretty powerful movie.
Yeah,
if that's evoking like some PTSD shit.
Yeah, and I can see how.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, Saving Private Ryan. It's an easy pick. It's a safe pick, but it's one that I believe in.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite movies ever.
Yeah, it's good pick. So that's war movies. What's it good for? Absolutely nothing. Hooah! Yeah, I wanted to put Inglourious Basterds, but there's other movies I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, me too.
Inglourious Basterds, you know, see, it's a great World War II movie. But don't take our word for it. So basically, this is going to be recorded in a separate part. I'm going to take the studio over to Big Daddy's house. And I'm going to have him tell me what are his favorite war movies, and I'm sure he's going to have a lot to say.
Yeah.
And this is an ambush, by the way, so...
He told me he has two lists.
Oh, my God. So, yeah.
But he knows we're going to do it. He doesn't know when.
Okay, good. All right, so let's cut to that now. All right, and we're back with part two of our discussion about war movies. We started this yesterday. You don't need to know that, but that's fine. We started this part yesterday... but for honorable mentions, I wanted to bring in an expert in war movies. My dad, John, he has a PhD in war movies. That's not true. It's a lie. Say hi, Dad.
Hello. Good evening.
we got him to come on the show, and we're going to talk some war movies. So we haven't seen as many war movies as you have, obviously. So you actually came up with a list.
Yes, I did.
Wow, look at
you. I'm kind of a war movie guru.
Yeah, I would say so. Usually if we have some questions, we go to you for them. So start rattling them off.
It was a tough decision because I've seen so many movies.
Okay.
Should we tell them what we picked first?
No, because I already know that he picked one of ours.
Okay.
Did I really?
Yes, you did.
Right. Okay, my number one, I kind of went in order of their... Well, they were made.
Oh, okay. All right. I like that. Oh. I was going to say, we usually go 5 through 1, and you say number one's your favorite. But if you wanted to go a different way on it, I'm fine with that. I won't yell at you.
Basically, it kind of comes out the same.
Okay.
The first movie I picked was a 1962 blockbuster, The Longest Day.
Oh, also known as The Longest Movie.
Yes. It had an all-star cast.
Okay.
And was filmed in black and white.
Yes, certainly
was. I believe it was filmed in black and white so they could incorporate some real war movie footage.
Oh, okay. Oh, very cool.
And it was an excellent, excellent movie. Yes, it was a very long movie. I believe it was like over 3 hours.
Yeah, I watched it in school. At a time where I probably didn't appreciate it, to be honest with you. I was in eighth grade. I didn't really give a shit.
I mean, some of the actors in it were like John Wayne.
Right.
Henry Fonda, the list just goes on and on and on.
Cool.
And my second movie was a movie that was made in 1965.
Mm.
Also had an all-star cast, The Battle of the Bulge.
Oh, okay.
And all these movies I actually saw in the theater
at the
time that they came out. Except for maybe The Longest Day, I may have seen that like later on, but... The Battle of the Bulge, I was 12 years old when I went to see that movie. And that also is based on real...
Right, the actual... What battle was that?
The Battle of the Bulge was December of 1944.
Okay.
When the Germans decided that they were going to counterattack to see if they could split the American and the British forces in two
right.
and capture the port city of Antwerp,
huh.
which is all actual historically documented.
Right.
For the first 2 or 3 weeks of the war, of that battle, the Americans were sent on a full retreat.
Tell me your number three again, because we had an audio glitch real quick.
The 1970 blockbuster movie also called Patton.
Yeah, okay.
Which starred George C. Scott.
Yeah, and you said before, I want you to repeat that
yes, real quick. He also had won an Oscar for his acting in that movie.
Right, but he wouldn't.
And he would not accept it. I believe it was because he didn't feel that he was worthy of it and refused to accept it.
That's so weird. That's a cool fact.
All right. My number four was a 1976 movie called Midway.
Okay.
Which also had an all-star cast, which included, Charlton Heston. And I believe Henry Fonda was in that movie. There was a lot of big-name actors in that one, too. And that movie came out with a special touch called Sensaround.
Right.
And they had several movies they made back in that time frame. One of them called Earthquake, which you could actually
feel like an old disaster movie. Yeah.
And Midway had the same type of a thing with you almost felt like you were sitting on the deck of an aircraft carrier when the planes were revving up and taking off.
Right.
And they added it to most of the battle footage scenes too.
Cool. It was, I mean, so you, did you see Midway in the theater?
Yes, I saw Midway in the
Was
theater.
It kind of gimmicky, that whole thing? Or?
No, at the time, you're talking 1976. It was kind of a, you know, it was before really good stereo sound systems.
Yeah, it's not, there's no.
Like they have today in the theater.
Have you seen an IMAX movie yet?
No, I haven't seen an IMAX.
Blow the rest of your hair
but
out of your
head.
But
this probably was the IMAX of that era, which you're talking almost 40 years ago.
Right. All right, that's the last one. All right, and so you're number five. So this was in no particular order. This was
Well,
it was in chronological
order. Yeah, it was in chronological
order. The last movie I picked was kind of a little bit different from the rest of them because it was one of my very favorite movies was Saving Private Ryan.
So I wanted to bring up that we both picked that as our number one.
Okay.
I'm glad. I just want to point this out real quick. I'm sorry I cut you off. Yeah, I'm glad you picked this movie because I feel like it justifies our pick.
Yeah, it does.
Because I think people would just be like, oh, Saving Private Ryan, it's just like a random, it's just like a war movie that everybody knows, so we picked as number one. No, that is technically.
I had a particular reason that
right.
I picked that.
Okay,
movie.
Go ahead.
Not only was it a Tom Hanks movie, and it was made in 1998. I don't really know too much about the timeline of actual being a real story.
Right.
But it was based around the D-Day invasion.
Yeah.
And the photography and the realism was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
I also saw that in the theater.
Yes.
And you felt as if you were right on the beaches with them.
Yeah. That movie, we talked about it earlier in the episode. That movie, caused people flashbacks, like legit, actual, like, you know, people that were in the war that went and saw that movie, and they were probably like white knuckling it the whole time.
There were scenes in that movie that very graphic, and showed, you know, what kind of carnage there was.
Yeah,
like the opening scene when the front of the Higgins boat dropped down, and the machine gun just wiped out half the people in the Higgins boat.
Yeah,
we talked about how. The beginning is so foreboding because it's just guys in the boats and they're like throwing up.
Yeah,
you know,
it's not like a traditional like, come on, men, you know, we're gonna go get them. It's just like a bunch of dudes just sitting around stewing, like, oh,
right.
Fuck, this is gonna suck.
They made it look like really what would really have happened.
And I thought, and that's Spielberg's big war movie. Like that was his big epic. So just off the top of your head, if you want to rattle off any more war movies that you would suggest people go see if they're into war
movies. Yeah, there was a couple others in there. There was another movie, I can't remember the exact dates, but it was probably like 65 or 67, a movie called The Devil's Brigade.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
With Holden, which was based on an American and Canadian brigades that combined to become one of the first special forces type ranger battalions.
Very cool.
Devil's Brigade I have seen. It's a very good movie.
Yeah, it's a very good
movie. Who's
the
actor
movie
in that movie? I can't remember his name.
William Holden.
William Holden was in that movie, and Claude Akins was in that movie. There was a, you know, it was a good all-star cast, but you know, not the big blockbuster. Another of one of my favorite movies was the 1965 movie The Green Beret with John Wayne.
Okay.
Which was more or less a very political type movie at the time because of us being already involved in Vietnam.
Right.
And the sides were already being taken for and against, and this was definitely a pro-war type movie.
Yeah. Just to go off topic for a second, are you familiar with the John Wayne Genghis Khan movie?
Yes, I'd seen it, but...
Is it a little insulting?
Maybe racist? Because
maybe a little racist?
Because of him?
Yeah, no. Like, why is he playing Genghis Khan?
Well, I understand. I know what you're saying,
yeah.
But, you know...
I just found it really strange.
At the time,
I'm sure nobody... Yeah, I know.
You didn't even think twice about it.
It's said that that's the movie that he got cancer from, because they filmed in old bombing sites, like H-bomb testing sites,
well,
and he got cancer from that.
He got cancer
in the crew.
He smoked 5 packs of cigarettes a day.
That's true. It didn't help.
That had more to do with it than anything else.
Yes. What's his actual name? I believe it's...
Oh, it's something...
Marion.
Oh,
yes.
I was going to say something dorky.
No,
sorry to everybody named Marion out there.
I don't think he would have been the type that you would say his name was
dorky. No, I'm sure he would have. No.
Another one of my favorite movies around that, towards... Saving Private Ryan was A Thin Red Line.
It was on Evan's
list.
That
was my list, yeah.
Yes, that was a movie based on the invasion of Guadalcanal.
Yes.
And that had quite a few big-name actors in it also, but to me it was kind of slow.
It's a Terrence Malick movie, so it's very plotting and very
slow.
I was saying that I liked it.
I was saying that I liked it because how depressing it depicts war and how... There's a lot of, like, really bad things that happen.
Yeah,
like Nick Nolte's characters always yelling at everybody.
It was kind of a head game type movie.
Right.
He kept
flashing back
to
being with his girlfriend or his wife, whatever the situation was.
Yeah.
But
no Deer Hunter?
Deer Hunter, yeah, that was a good movie. It was something that...
It was a little depressing.
Yeah, it was a little depressing and... But exciting, and it got its point across.
My number two, I put Apocalypse Now.
Yes, that would have been another movie that. But that's another one of those long movies.
I know.
And actually, a footnote to that movie: Martin Sheen, who starred in that movie, had a heart attack on scene.
Yeah, and Marlon Brando Marlon Brando showed up fat, not knowing his lines.
Right.
I heard rumors that they had to tape his lines. Because you don't notice that, like, they just kind of show his head. And I actually like the camera work they do with the shadows and everything. It looks cool.
It was kind of a weird movie.
It was a very strange movie. I like all the middle of it, though.
Yeah.
One movie I was hoping you'd talk about, which I haven't seen all the way through, but I just wanted to know if you had any thoughts on it. The Big Red One.
Yes, the big with Lee Marvin and
is that what it's
Luke Skywalker.
Is it called the Big Red One or just
the Big Red One?
Yeah, and Mark Hamill's in it.
Mark Hamill's in it.
Yes. Very young Mark Hamill.
Wow.
Pre Star Wars.
He was one of the soldiers in the unit with Lee Marvin. Yeah, it was a good movie. That was more or less the type of a movie that was chronologically correct.
Right.
Following the First Army all over. African coast, what do you call it, Libya, up into Italy, and up all, and finally landing on the beaches of Normandy. Yeah, that was another very good movie.
Yeah, I think the thing about World War II, I think I've had this conversation with you before, it's a very cinematic war.
Yeah.
Like, in real life it was, like the way it played out, like the good versus evil and the whole thing.
Yeah.
Now wars are a little more gray. They
kind
of have a harder time telling, like, uplifting stories about war.
Yeah.
So World War II, I always thought was a very cinematic... Very, you know, just an easy, a crowd pleaser, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right, very good.
I had one more. A movie, We Were Soldiers.
Oh, yes.
Which I can never see enough times.
That was a good flick.
Sit down and watch that movie.
Yep.
That also was based on an actual colonel.
Yeah.
and an actual battle in the Latrine Valley.
Yeah.
In Central.
That movie has a really cool cast.
Yes.
Because
yes.
it's almost Barry like a very.
Pepper.
Yep. Who's also in Saving Private Ryan, Mel Gibson, Sam Elliott. And then it has a bunch of people that showed up, weren't stars back then. John Hamm's in it.
Yeah.
The guy who plays Agent Coulson in S.H.I.E.L.D. is in it.
The kid who was in American Pie is in it.
Oh, Chris Klein.
Yeah.
Oh, Christ, yeah. He's not a good actor.
The thing about We Were Soldiers is it's not a very traditional Vietnam War movie.
No, it's not.
It's not like others, you know.
Yeah.
Most Vietnam War movies have like a certain look.
Yeah.
And way about themselves, like Full Metal Jacket, but We Were Soldiers is a very much different movie from that.
That's because in We Were Soldiers, they actually fought against an overwhelmingly large force of 10,000 North Vietnamese regulars.
Now, was that at the very beginning of the war?
Yes, it was actually the first engagement of the 7th Cavalry,
which
became the helicopter brigade.
Gotcha.
Unit. And yes, I believe that was like in 65 or 66.
Before they knew what they got themselves
into.
Well,
that was before the Tet Offensive. And after the We Were Soldiers type movie, they were more or less, they would not come out and face American troops in mass like that because they more or less got their asses kicked.
Gotcha.
Nice.
And then through the war of attrition, we ended up leaving with our asses kicked.
Right. So this is what I liked about having you on, is we could actually drop some real knowledge, because we didn't really have, we were just like, we like movies.
Yeah.
We don't really have any of the history behind it.
I'm more a history type.
Right. Myth. Yes. I agree.
Should we run down each other's list real quick, so he knows what we picked?
I picked Glory.
Yes,
that's a very good Civil War movie.
Yes, very good movie.
I picked Zero Dark Thirty.
Yep.
Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, I think you'd like it.
Yep.
It's different. What the hell else did I pick? This is embarrassing. let me get my phone out. You keep going.
All right, I'll just run down my list real quick. I picked for my number five, Kelly's Heroes.
Yes, that was supposed to be a comedy.
Yeah.
But nobody was laughing.
It was a dry comedy.
I picked The Thin Red Line, Black Hawk Down.
That's another very good
movie. Yeah, I also had Black Hawk Down, Apocalypse Now, and Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah. And, yeah, they got a phone on me. My number two was Enemy at the Gates.
Yes, that's great, another movie that I saw movie. That I really liked, too. We should mention our Russian allies.
Yeah. We talked about before how it was a movie that showed one of the bloodiest battles of World War II, which is the Battle of Stalingrad.
Yep.
So I think every time that we have an audio glitch or a phone ring, I'm just going to play an explosion or some gunfire.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
And you know both of our number ones.
Yeah, I think I lost a couple pieces of the Battle of the Bulge. Something that was like a glitch, but I think we got the rest of it.
Okay.
It's never perfect. It never comes out right, but I can go in and I can edit. So yeah, that was good. I was hoping to drop some knowledge on the viewers and, you know.
Well, it was a pleasure to be on your
show.
Hey,
well, it was partly, he was like, oh, we should do war movies because D-Day was last week.
Yep.
And I was like, yeah, we could totally do war movies. We haven't done war movies in a while. And I realized, well, Father's Day is coming up. Fathers usually like war movies. You're a dad. You're specifically my dad.
So.
Why don't we have him on the show and talk about war movies? So there we have it. It was a good little honorable mention. Usually we're just drinking and making jokes, but this was actually like a little bit more informative than we're used to.
Educational.
You know, I mean, you kind of went to the right person.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm full of useless knowledge.
No, that's fine. And so are we. It's just it doesn't really coincide with... Yours is more historical and ours is more
pop
culture.
Your mom said I should have been a history teacher.
I completely agree with her because you would have been... you gave us a history lesson here on Pop Junk Movies and we appreciate you for it.
We did a...
No problem.
We did a war movie episode for Father's Day and we actually brought in somebody that knows a lot about war movies.
Yeah. So just to wrap up real quick... we're going to have another special guest on next week, my friend Sean Patrick Harris.
Oh, wow.
An excellent actor in his own right that nobody knows about, but we're going to talk our top five favorite action sequences.
There you go. Sounds like a very interesting episode, Adam.
I usually let the guest pick the topic. I mean, you didn't have to pick the topic because it was right up your alley anyways. And he suggested action sequences, so... I'm going to do my best not to talk about T2 because we talk about T2 every week. So yeah. I'm going to try and go a different way in this one. Maybe we'll talk some, I don't know. I'm not going to give it away. But so that was this week's episode of Pop Junk Movies. It was a two-day episode for us.
Two-day episode.
This will probably drop on Sunday. So
yeah.
I'll get this edited up tomorrow, and then it'll probably be out on Sunday. So thanks for coming.
No problem. Thanks. It's my pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
So as always, I was Adam.
I was Evan.
And you were our special guest.
John Dad.
And
AKA the Dad.
Yep.
Dad.
And we were Pop Junk Movies, and this was a family affair. Good day.